Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Coming up on this week's episode, Old English in Christmas Carols. I will review the Duolingo app and anti-animal idioms? What's that? All coming up on The James Rice Show. Hello, my students, and welcome to The James Rice Show. I am the author and series creator of the Study It ESL textbooks, available on the iBook Store for use with your iPad, iPhone, MacBook, iMac, anything Apple. Yeah, so welcome to episode number 50. Wow, we've got 50 episodes in the bank, quite a year. And don't forget, you can subscribe to my show on Apple Podcasts or Android's Stitcher podcast app. Just search for The James Rice Show. Don't forget The, and you'll find my show. The full episodes are released every Monday, and I'm based here in Toronto, Canada. And I'm with my amazing producer, Stephanie, who's silent but deadly. She's amazing, and she's wonderful. We're broadcasting in over 60 countries, and it's just fantastic, fantastic. I've just returned from Miami Beach, where I attended the ICF workshop. That's a place where agents, language school agents, language travel agents, and language schools and high schools and universities, they all get together and they meet. And we meet each other and we enjoy some seminars about various trends in the ESL industry. And I met many, many of you there. So thank you for coming up and saying hello, and glad to know that you are listening to the James Rice Show. Now, I do have a special request for all of the James Rice Show listeners. Now, I don't usually tell you what's coming up on the James Rice Show, but we have been working really, really hard for the past few weeks on our New Year's Eve broadcast, because actually the James Rice Show is going to be on Monday, December 31st, and we're creating a New Year's Eve broadcast. And we want all of you, not all of you, but some of you, to send us a message, video message, an audio message, an email is fine. We want to hear from you, and we want you to tell us your New Year's resolution. What do you want from 2019? What do you want to do in 2019? Or, you know what, you can just say Happy New Year from your country or your city, and we want to play that on our podcast. And even if you are a little shy, we'll read it out as well. Now, what we're doing on our New Year's Eve broadcast is we will take parts of the top episodes of 2018 and replay them. Now, the top episodes means the ones that you have been listening to the most. So we've been tracking our most popular episodes, and we're going to play them for you. Now, we won't play the whole episode, but we will play a short highlight from that episode, and we will do a kind of countdown of your favorite episodes. So which episode have you listened to or downloaded the most? What do you guys think? Which one is the best out there, or at least the most popular one out there? And you'll find out on December 31st. But in between that countdown, I want to play your video, your audio, your email messages. So I really want to hear from you. And you can email us, okay, right on the James Rice Show website, www.thejamesriceshow.com. If you're listening on the Apple Podcast, there's a link on our Connect section there where you can connect on our website. You can send us on our Facebook page. That's where many of you also follow us. And just send me a message on Facebook. You know, create a little voice memo with your phone, send it through, and we'll play it on the air. Anything at all, but we really want to hear from you guys, and we want to bring you into the show, and we want to have an opportunity to bring in 2019 with a bang and with a great. With a great show for you guys. So we're working really, really hard, and now it's your turn to get us what we need to make the show even better. So I know many of you are like on Christmas holidays because you're not studying anymore or you're traveling now. Just, you know, pick up your phone, send us a message. All right, send us a selfie message. That'd be cool. That would be great. Now, who are our top five listeners countries this week? Which countries have been listening to us the most? It's been a big change this week of our listeners to the James Rice Show. Number one is the US of A. They're still listening to the James Rice Show. Number two is New Zealand. Yeah, New Zealand. They've jumped up to number two. Amazing, Kiwis. Thank you, guys. Number three is Canada. Number four, Brazil. And number five, Mexico. Mexico is back. Mexico, my friends. Great to have you guys back listening to the James Rice Show. You guys dropped off the top five for a while, so it's nice to have our Mexicanas back. All right, coming up on this week's episode, Duolingo. Duolingo. Now, it's an app, and they say they have 300 million users learning a language on their app, Duolingo. Wow, really? 300 million. So my question is, will this app help you learn English? We will review it, and we will give you our opinion coming up a little bit later in the show. And anti-animal idioms. Yep, no more animal idioms. That's some of the discussion that's been going on here in North America. Well, I'll fill you in on that as well. But first, a special Christmas Carol Idiom of the Week section. And we're going to be discussing understanding the old English in those Christmas songs that you hear every year. Now, we did a lot of research for you guys for this one, and it is coming up next.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
Well, Christmas is around the corner, and we all know what that means.
Santa's coming to town!
Santa! Oh, my God!
Yes, that was my all-time favorite movie, Elf, Will Ferrell. Santa! He's coming! One more week! Yeah! And, of course, we will all be singing Christmas songs, English Christmas songs, which are also called Christmas carols. Now, if you are an English teacher or English student, you are going to come across some old English in those Christmas songs or Christmas carols. And that old English we don't really use anymore, except when we sing Christmas songs. Stop that. She knows how much I hate that song. Stephanie, that is not, I mean, okay, that's a Christmas song, but that is not a Christmas carol. Okay, that's just Christmas pop music. That is quite terrible. Jeez, that's the worst song. I know some of you out there, Jane, what are you talking about? I love that song. That is not a Christmas carol. That is not a Christmas carol. Christmas carols have been around forever, okay? Longer than Wham, okay? They've been going, They've been going on hundreds of years, and they're not going away, okay? They're not going away, and every Christmas, if you're young out there, you're going to hear these songs again and again and again. So if you have children, you're going to hear them. If you're a grandparent, you're going to hear them. You're going to hear them all the time. So we're gonna take a look at some of these Christmas carol idioms. So you better watch out. You better not pout. Pout means look sad. Because the Christmas carol idioms this week may be a little difficult. All right, Stephanie, let's play the first song. Right, so that's deck the halls, and they say deck the halls with boughs of holly. What? So a bough is a tree branch. Yeah, it's just a tree branch. And deck the halls means decorate. So decorate the halls with tree branches. Yeah, old English. Continue, Stephanie.
Tis the season to be jolly.
All right, so they say, tis the season to be jolly. So tis means it is. It's the season to be jolly, which is happy. So tis the season to be jolly. Interesting. Yeah, if you blend it together, it's tis. Same kind of pronunciation. Continue, Stephanie. Last one we'll do of deck the halls. Oh, Stephanie, you're making this hard, aren't you? Okay, so we got a couple of lines there. First, they say, don we now our gay apparel. So that means, don means we're going to wear. All right, we're going to don our clothes. So we're going to wear our clothes. And gay means happy. In Old English, gay meant happy. So we're going to wear our happy apparel. And apparel means, of course, clothes. So don we now our gay apparel. Don't worry, we're going to play this again, Stephanie, because come on, this is really fast. This is really hard. The next line after that, though, I do want to share with you because it's really interesting. So after don we now our gay apparel, so we're going to wear our happy clothes, they say troll the ancient Yuletide carol. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol. And we'll play it again. So you can check and listen for that one. Now, there are a few words here that are quite interesting. So nowadays, troll means those nasty, negative people on Facebook or Twitter who say terrible, mean things about people. But in the 1800s, when this song came out, troll meant to sing loudly. Yep, just sing loudly. And then the next line is ancient. So troll the ancient. Ancient, of course, means old. And the next word is Yuletide. So troll the ancient Yuletide. What is Yuletide, James? Well, glad you asked that, Stephanie. Thank you. Yuletide means Christmas. Ah, yeah, it's another word for Christmas. So you'll hear Yuletide a lot around Christmas. And you'll be like, what? Actually, in the German lunar calendar, and I did have to research this. I didn't know this off the top of my head, but the German calendar said Yule means a winter festival. Yeah, a winter festival. So when you hear Yule, it means winter. For example, a Yule log. A Yule log, that's a winter log. Or, you know, a kind of cake, a Christmas cake, a kind of winter cake. Yeah, so Yule, that is a really important expression. All right, so troll the ancient Yuletide carol. Uh-huh. Wow. Let's listen to it again. One more time, Stephanie.
Don we now our gay apparel. Fa la 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 la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol. Fa la 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 la.
The amazing things you are learning on The James Rice Show. Now, this next one is really not good. Not good. All right, and yeah, it's from a really famous Christmas carol, and it's not good. You're going to be surprised when you hear it. Okay, let's play the song, Stephanie.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring.
All right, stop right there, Stephanie. Stop right there. Okay. All right, now. That was, of course, Jingle Bells, one of the most popular Christmas songs, if not the most popular Christmas song of all time around the world. And what you're thinking, what could be wrong with this song, James? Why is it not good? Well, there's a line there, and they say, "Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright." Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright, da 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 da. And they continue on to sing Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells. But what the heck is a bobtail? What's a bobtail? Bells on bobtails. What the heck is that? Well, it's kind of gross. It's kind of gross. It's usually a dog or a sheep, or in this case, a horse, who has had its tail cut off. Snip. Yeah. Yeah. Yikes. Now, it could also mean in a more positive way that the horse's tail is tied up in a knot, decorative kind of knot. But actually, you know, but it's actually an animal whose tail has been cut off. Yeah. That's why, you know, what are they singing that for? Jingle Bells is such a happy song. Listen to it again and see if it changes your mind about Jingle Bells.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring.
Ouch! Ouch! Ouch, I feel sorry for those horses. You know, I'm sure the people are singing and happy in the sleigh and the snow is falling, but the horses are going, ouch, my tail hurts. Anyways, okay, I digress. We have some we have some fun here at the James Rice Show. All right, give me the next song, which is, it's a traditional Christmas song, Stephanie, and it is called Away in a Manger. Let's listen to this one. Let's stop that there, Stephanie. Now, that was Away in a Manger by Susan Boyle. Great rendition, great version of the song. You should check it out, Susan Boyle. Now, a manger is not a bed. So they say away in a manger, but it is not a bed. Although in this song, it is used like a bed. But it is actually a place that the cows or horses eat from. Yeah, it's kind of their plate. So baby Jesus was put on a plate in a manger. where the cows are eating. Yeah. Well, that's what happened. So then a little later in the song, we hear this line, the cattle are lowing. The cattle are lowing. What? What? The cattle are, what? The cattle are lowing. What the heck does that mean? Well, lowing means mooing. Moo. The sound that cows make. So we say, the cows are mooing. But back then, the cows were lowing. And that's why baby Jesus woke up. And that is our idiom of the week.
The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes.
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at Connect with James for fun photos and updates on future episodes.
Okay, students, it's time for your English tip of the week.
I read an excellent article in The Atlantic about the app Duolingo. Right now, the number one app for learning languages with over 27 million users is Duolingo. 27 million monthly paying users. And you can study English, French, Italian, Chinese, whatever language you want. It is free to start, but essentially they try to hook you with a $9.99 monthly subscription. $10 to subscribe to Duolingo every month. Now, Duolingo claims it has over 300 million learners using the apps, which could be. But according to the article I read, there are only 27 million active paying users. It also states that Duolingo is fun and effective. Its secret, Duolingo feels like a game. But can you learn a language with Duolingo? Now, the article I read in The Atlantic is called How I Almost Learned Italian. And it shares the author's experience with Duolingo. It seems he was an active monthly user paying his $10, and he used it every day, and he enjoyed it, and he felt like he was learning Italian. But actually, he wasn't. He could not function in the real world. He had learned words, but not how to use those words out on the street. And he panicked. You know, there he was in Italy, not able to function, and he panicked. And he picked up a self-study book, and he started to learn, and then that helped him in Italy. So, when the author came back, and came back to North America, he called up the CEO of Duolingo for an interview, and he told him about this experience. Now, if someone bought an app, downloaded it, used it, and failed to master the language, wouldn't the CEO of that company be a little angry with the interviewer? Maybe not want to be a part of the interview? Maybe avoid the interview? But the CEO of Duolingo, Louis Von Ahn, he was fine with the interview, and he wasn't angry. He said to the author that Duolingo, the app, worked perfectly. What? It worked perfectly. All right. Now, Duolingo's philosophy, here it is to get you hooked or addicted to learning a language, not to teach you how to use the language, but just get you addicted to learning a language. Because, he says, essentially, people give up easily when they're trying to learn a new language. So the goal of Duolingo is to keep you opening the app to try to learn and to play their games and to do their activities, even though you are not really learning English. In fact, Louis Von Ahn states, and I quote, this is from the article, "We prefer to be more on the addictive side than the learning side. So their goal is to get you addicted to their product. Much like Coke or Pepsi or McDonald's, they don't really care if you're learning English. Just like McDonald's doesn't really care if their food is healthy or not. McDonald's is there to feed you. Duolingo is there to feed you as well. In the same way that Las Vegas or the casinos around the world try to addict you to keep spending their money, keep you addicted, keep spending money, and think that you're having fun and think that you're going to win or think that you're going to learn English. My students, I say it might be better to save that $9.99 and invest it in a good self-study book, a good private tutor, or put it in the bank so you can go live abroad. The fact is, these apps may one day help to improve your language, but right now they are just funding their own growth. If you know what I mean, Louis von Ahn is taking your money to grow his business. He doesn't really care if you're learning English. And there is nothing better than a good human teacher that can make a lesson fun, interesting, and challenging. Nothing beats that. Not any app out there in the world. At least, not yet. And that is the English tip of the week.
Have you downloaded the Study It ESL textbooks yet for your classroom? The Study It textbooks are the first ever digital and interactive textbooks. Once downloaded, Wi-Fi is no longer required. Each book contains video and audio exercises, detailed grammar keynotes, reading and writing assignments, and amazing speaking projects. Grammar, conversation, pronunciation, business English, and listening textbooks are available. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
Welcome back to the James Rice Show, and I want to take a look at PETA. PETA means, P-E-T-A, means people for the ethical treatment of animals. And they are kind of, but they are an animal rights organization. So they suggest we should stop using anti-animal idioms. What? Yeah, anti-animal idioms. They say, and I quote, this is a direct quote from PETA, words matter. And as our understanding of social justice evolves means changes, our language evolves, changes, along with it. And that is what they wrote on their social media pages. Now, I do agree that language does evolve or change, and we have discussed the way language has changed on the James Rice Show many times. So I am not against change. But what are the anti-animal idioms? And what do they want us to change those anti-animal idioms to? Well, I'm glad you asked, James. You know, I'm not sure, but I want to take a look at some of these new expressions, and I'm not sure if these PETA expressions will catch on. All right, so let's take a look. All right, the first one, the expression we use, it's an anti-animal idiom, is beat a dead horse. Beat a dead horse. Now, this means to do something that has no point or no purpose because the issue has been settled. It's done. It's over. So you beat a dead horse. Now, the phrase usually originated, it began with horse racing. And horses are sometimes hit or beaten by their riders to get them moving faster. And if you beat a horse that's dead, well, you know, he's not going to move faster. So there's no purpose in doing that. It has no point. So that's where the idiom came from. And of course, that's, you know, it's very anti-animal idiom to say beat a dead horse. You know, that's not a cool idiom. PETA wants to change it to feed a fed horse. Feed a fed horse, not beat a dead horse. Because there's no point to feed a horse that's already full, right? Same idiom meaning, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, I don't mind that. You know, that's okay. Why not? It's kind of fun to say. Feed a fed horse. Feed a fed horse. Say that quickly 5 times, my students. Feed a fed horse. So instead of beat a dead horse, it's very similar, but obviously a bit different. All right, let's take a look at another one PETA wants to change. This anti-animal idiom, we say, kill two birds with one stone. Yikes, yeah, killing two birds, very anti-animal. So it means to kill two birds with one stone means to do two things, to complete two actions at one time. So to do two things at once, very, very similar to the idiom, kill two birds with one stone. One stone kills two birds. But, you know, I think this one's going to be really tough to change, PETA, because it's just not only an English idiom, but it's an idiom used around the world. In Italy, for example, they say we should catch two pigeons with one lava bean. And in Portugal, they say let's kill two rabbits with one cane blow. You know, a cane from, I guess maybe from the Amazon, I don't know. A cane as in a stick or a walking cane. So to kill two rabbits with one walking cane. Ouch! Or in Germany, a little nicer, but still not great for animals. It says to kill two flies with one swat. So PETA wants us to say not kill two birds with one stone, but feed two birds with one scone. Feed two birds with one scone. A scone, yes, it's a tea biscuit. A tea biscuit, you know, a biscuit you eat. So, you know, PETA, I do not see this one changing just because it's a very common expression that we use around the world. Now, another one is be the guinea pig. Be the guinea pig. And this idiom means to be the first one to try something. So like, hey, James, go down that ski hill first. Be our guinea pig. It's like an experiment. It's like an experiment. So PETA says we should say be the test tube because it's an experiment, right? Be the test tube, not be the guinea pig. So you know what? I kind of got to agree with this one because guinea pig is originally from East Africa and it comes from the guinea men who were sailing ships for the slave trade. So if we got rid of the guinea pig expression, it wouldn't be, you know, necessarily not a bad thing, I guess. However, very important to note that the famous writer George Bernard Shaw first used this expression, be the guinea pig, in its modern meaning, which means to experiment on something, in one of his books. And you might say, who cares? Well, I mean, George Bernard Shaw's really popular. I mean, after Shakespeare, man, I mean, you got George Bernard Shaw. I mean, he's right up there. I mean, he's 1, 2, 3. And George Bernard Shaw was a vegetarian. Yeah, he didn't eat meat. So he'd be a member of PETA today. So a vegetarian actually made Be the Guinea Pig popular. Not sure which way to vote on that one. What do you guys think? Be the guinea pig should go the PETA way or go the normal way, I guess. So be the test tube or be the guinea pig. Next, bring home the bacon. Bring home the bacon, which means, you know, you want to earn money for your family. And PETA wants us to change it to bring home the bagels. Okay. All right, let's take a look at the last one. The last one, take the bull by the horns. Take the bull by the horns. And this means to solve a difficult problem with courage and bravery. You know, horns are those things that are coming out of a bull's head. So PETA wants us to change it to take the flower by the thorns. Take the flower by the thorns. Instead of take the bull by the horns. Yeah, you know, it doesn't sound so brave. you know, take the flower by the thorns instead of bull by the horn. However, you know, it is quite impossible to take the bull by the horns. I mean, no one can do that. No one. I mean, the cowboy gets on top of the bull and you know, they can't even ride the bull. So how can you actually take the bull by the horns? So Peter may be right on that one, you know, but, you know, flower by the thorns. It's an interesting debate out there, and I'm not sure which way I fall on it, but I'm always open to changing the language and updating the language if it works. So let me know what you guys think.
Have you subscribed to James's newsletter? When you subscribe, you will receive a free Study It ESL textbook. Visit www.thejamesriceshow.com for more information and join today.
So I can't stress enough to you guys how hard we're working on our New Year's Eve special broadcast. And I really want you guys to be a part of it. And again, as I mentioned at the opening of the episode, please send us in your video, your audio recording, and tell us your New Year's resolution, or just say, hey, James, this is Bruno, and I am in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, and I want to wish everyone a Happy New Year. Something simple like that. That's all. You don't have to make a big production. We want to hear from you guys. And I'm really excited about putting together this New Year's Eve special. And you know, you guys will probably be busy New Year's Eve. You know, you'll be out in the town having a crazy time. But hopefully, you can listen to it January 1st or January 2nd if you need an extra day to recover. So you can listen to it then. But it's going to be an amazing broadcast. We're going to have that countdown of the top episodes that you guys have been listening to. And I'm very, you know, we're working so hard on it. Stephanie here has been doing an amazing job, working a little bit overtime to take slices of different episodes, putting them all together. And now it's your turn. We want to hear from you. And this broadcast, you know, exist because of you. And you know, I love it when I get your feedback on Messenger. I love that. And now I want to hear your voice. All right, we're here to practice English. We're here to teach English. So record it and let's get it on air on the broadcast here. And share with us what you guys are doing out there, because that inspires me. And you inspire me, and when that happens, it becomes a better show, a better podcast for everybody to listen to. So we are one big classroom here in the world, and while I may be your teacher, you are my students, and I'm giving you a project to do, homework on the James Rice Show. You have to do your homework for New Year's Eve broadcast. So send that through. You've got a couple of weeks to get that done. And I want to hear your voice. And I want to put it on the air and start 2019 with an amazing family of listeners. And we're running out of time for this week's episode. And I want to thank you guys so much for listening to this episode, and also for an amazing year that we've had. We continue to grow. We continue to expand and get more listeners in different places all over the world. You know, who knew? You know, I mean, New Zealand is our number two country this week. And, you know, we've had listeners from Iraq. We've had listeners from all over the world. And it's amazing. It's really amazing. And it inspires me, really. I'm inspired by your desire to learn English. So thank you guys, and remember, be crazy.
Thanks for listening to The James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.